holiday Bible club service, following our holiday Bible club during the week. And we're going to be learning a little bit about what happened at the holiday Bible club. And we're going to take as the theme for our service, Who is Jesus? Just to let you know that there is a creche over in the minor hall. So if you have any younger ones and you want them to go there, the creche is there. Let me give a word of welcome to those who are visiting with us. I know that we have some people from Canada with us, who one of whom was one of our ex-members many years ago. So yes, you're down there. Welcome to you both. Good to have you with us this morning. And then we have visitors from the Holiday Bible Club, and it's good to have you with us as well. And anyone else who is visiting with us this morning, we're really delighted to have you. Just another few announcements, just to say to you that there is tea and coffee following the service, and that's across in the minor hall. As it's an all-age service this morning, the boys and girls will be staying in right throughout the service. And then just to remind you of the service this evening at 7 o'clock, that will be conducted by myself, and we will be continuing with our studies in the book of Romans. And then just to say to you that I go on holiday on Wednesday. I will be away for most, if not all, of the month of August. And so if you require the services of a minister, if you contact David Cargo, he will put you in touch with someone. Okay, I think that that's all our announcements for this morning. We're going to begin our all-age service as we have begun our all-age services over the last 3 months with a responsive prayer. But the whole point of this prayer is to help us to think about why we are here and what we are going to do in this service this morning. We're not just going to follow a usual routine. We're not just going perhaps to delight in some of the things that the boys and girls will do. We're here to meet with the living God. So we pray together, and as you can see, I will lead and you will respond. We are not once a week friends. We are not a cozy club. We are not just strangers meeting. We are not here by accident. We're not just filling up an hour. We are not just going through the motions. So come, draw near to God. Amen. And so it is in that spirit we turn together to worship God. We stand to sing those familiar words to us. Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. going to pray now, and our prayers are going to be led by Ryan, one of our helpers in the Holiday Bible Club, and then Connor is going to come and just give us some insight into what happened during the week.
Okay, let us pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you now and we just want to give you thanks. Lord, we want to give you thanks for such a great week that we have had here in Holy Bible Club. Lord, we just want to give thanks for the opportunity that we have had to be able to serve you, Lord, in this way. Lord, we want to give you thanks for the people who have been helping us this week. Whatever they have been doing, Lord, without them, it couldn't run. And Lord, we just want to pray for the kids who have came along each and every night. Lord, that you will have sent them home with something stirring in their hearts. Lord, through the talks and through the messages, through the conversations that we've all had with them, Lord, that we have stirred something up in them. Lord, we just want to give you thanks that we can come and serve you in this way, and we can talk to you in this way. Lord, we just want to give you thanks for all the Holy Bible Clubs that have been happening throughout this town, and Lord, are continuing to happen over the next couple of weeks in this town. Lord, I just pray that you be with them as well. Guide them and be with them. Lord, we just pray these things now in your name. Amen.
Bonjour, guten Tag, how are we all? I am just back from the best week ever of travelling. I've been everywhere. I've been up to Sweden, I've been down to Italy. I have been all over Europe with all my friends, and I have had the best time playing games, learning courses. And we started off our journey in France, the beautiful city of Paris, and we had an amazing time. We had croissants with jam, we played games. We had not one, but five crafts. But as soon as we were at Paris, we had to go on to the next place, and that was Sweden. And Sweden was amazing. Sweden, they have this amazing palace, and you think Buckingham Palace is big, but this palace had over 1,000 rooms. It was huge, and there were so many things to do in Sweden. Peter did an amazing game. We were playing IKEA, and we won a 3 million Ferrari in IKEA. Who knew you could get that there? I didn't. But as soon as we were up Sweden, we had to head on. And the next night, we were in Italy. And the food in Italy, wow. The pizza, the pasta. I can tell you now, whenever I left Italy, I'd put on a few pounds from that. But we only had one day in Italy. And as soon as we were out of Italy, we were away on to Switzerland. And Switzerland, again, is a beautiful, beautiful country. They have this amazing mountain called the Matterhorn. The Matterhorn's called that because it's beautiful, but also dangerous. And Switzerland was dangerous. That mountain was amazing. And when you got to the top of it, seeing all the sights and the garden down below, it was incredible. And we played some amazing games and had good fun there as well. But just as we were doing that, we had our last night. And it was over far too soon. And on our way back from our travels, we went to London. And London, what Hyde Park, what a beautiful garden again. And we had a bit of a different night for our Friday night. We had a barbecue, all the parents came, we all had a great time. And a bouncy castle even made an appearance, and that was a brilliant night. But while our travels were an amazing time, I had the best time ever, it also reminded me during the week of another story of a man who went on travels, and that man was called Jesus. And Jesus went through this amazing journey into Jerusalem. And on the first night, that really reminded me. I was in this amazing train station where there was people everywhere. There were so many people. It was really crowded. And that reminded us that night of whenever Jesus walked into Jerusalem on a donkey. And there was people waving palm leaves and shouting his name. And it was so, so busy. And all through the week, I had these amazing reminders of Jesus' story. Through whenever Jesus got his feet washed with perfume, whenever Jesus took bread and broke it and had wine. And we learned all about these stories that connected to all our travels. And that took us up to Thursday night, whenever we were on the Matterhorn, this amazing mountain. And that reminded us of the night that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus was captured and taken up to Golgotha and put in this cross where he was made to be crucified and died. And that took us up. But as we know, all good stories don't end on a sad note. And we still had Friday when we were in London, and we learned that Jesus didn't stay dead, but that he rose from the dead. And we had our big party on Friday because Jesus was alive and he was well. And that was the true end of our story. So while I had an amazing time traveling all over Europe here and there, we also learned about this amazing story, this true story that was so much better than all our travels. So I'm going to head off now and get these smelly clothes washed. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Connor. I did wonder what the smell was. So that's good. In this first part of our service, we're going to be thinking about a question that Jesus posed to his disciples. And Patrick is going to read a few verses from the book of Matthew, where Jesus poses that question. And then Katie is going to come and sing a song for us entitled The Outlaw, where someone gives their opinion about who Jesus could possibly be.
When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets.
Michael's going to put a picture up for me. Oh, he got a reaction. Yes, this is our new Prime Minister. And I was looking up a few facts about him. Did you know that his full title is Alexander Boris DeFifel Johnson? And since he has become Prime Minister, People have been asking the question, who is he? Who is this man? And people have come up with all kinds of answers to that. I suppose the one that comes to our minds from people and as people from Northern Ireland is that he's a bit of a toff, isn't he? I mean, to have the name De Fyfel, I mean, I ask you, you know, comes from a very wealthy background, educated at Eton and Oxford University, speaks with a very posh voice. Not somebody who's perhaps in touch with the common man. Other people think of him as a writer. I mean, he was a journalist for many years, worked on a number of newspapers, became editor of one of those papers, and has written a number of books. Perhaps the most well-known and the most successful is the book that he wrote on Churchill. Someone whom he models himself after. Some see him as a charismatic leader. You know, he's good with words. He's good at drawing a crowd together. He's got lots of energy. Motivates people. And of course, many people see him as simply a clown. Somebody who does silly things, who puts his big foot in it often, and it's not someone that you could rely upon. When it comes to the question, who is Boris Johnson? There's a whole range of opinions. And the question that Jesus posed to the disciples, and the question that he poses to us is, who do people say that I am? And of course, the disciples give many different answers to that question. You know, some say he was a prophet, a great teacher. Some say he was a bit like John the Baptist. Some say he was a bit like Elijah. And if we think about it, as Jesus poses that question today, who do people say that I am? How might we respond? Well, of course, the first thing that we might say is that to many people, Jesus is simply a swear word. They use his name, but it means nothing more to them than any other expletive that they use. Some people regard him as a fictional or mythical character. He's like Superman or Batman or Spider-Man. You know, he's one of those characters from a cartoon series. But he's not real. He doesn't really exist. He's a made-up character. Now, I want to say to you this morning that if you think that, then it's simply not the case. Ask any historian, and they will tell you that Jesus is a real person. There is more evidence for his existence than many of some of the great historical figures in the past that we consider to be real. For example, Julius Caesar. So he's a real person. But what kind of person? And of course, some people will say, well, he's a great teacher. I mean, he knew how to work a crowd. And he had a tremendous understanding of human nature and people. And in his teaching, he was able to provide great principles for us to follow. And when we think of his teaching like the Sermon on the Mount, there's hardly anything to compare with it in the history of literature. Other people will say he was a marvelous human being. He had such genuine love for people, especially those people on the margins of society, the poor, the forgotten, the despised. He ate with publicans and prostitutes. He touched lepers. When in his day, people with leprosy had to ring a bell and warn people that they were coming so that people wouldn't touch them. He didn't always condemn people. In fact, quite the opposite. He could say to a woman caught in adultery, "I don't condemn you." He was a wonderful person. So who do people say Jesus is? Well, for many, many people, he's just a figure from history. His teaching is something that we should listen to. His example is something that we should follow. But he belongs to the past. He doesn't have much relevance to our everyday lives. That's what people say about him. And in a few moments, I'm going to think about what the Bible says about him. But before we do so, we're going to turn and worship God together. We're going to sing two pieces, hopefully two pieces that are now familiar to you, called Good, Good Father, and What a Beautiful Name. We encourage you to stand for both of those pieces. But if you think for you it's too long to stand for both of them, it's okay to sit down if it's too long for you. But if you feel up to it, let's stand to sing Good, Good Father, and then What a Beautiful Name.
Whispers love.
Okay, everyone. If there are any other boys and girls in the church who want to come up to the front now, do so, because Lauren is going to come and speak to all of the boys and girls. So over to Lauren.
I should really check the mic's working. Mum, can you hear me? That's good. If Mum can hear me back there, that means you can all hear me here. I think there's just one or two to come down. So I've got a really important question for you. It's quite easy. Who am I?
Lauren.
What else do you know about me? Anyone know what I do? I'll give you a clue. Please don't get this wrong.
You're a doctor.
No, I'm better than a doctor.
You're
brilliant. See, close. Anyone else know anything else about me? Well, I'll give you another clue. Yeah? I love Starbucks. I'm a real coffee drinker. Isn't that good? I'll not condone Starbucks because there's other great companies out there too, like Costa, Nero, everything else. Another clue. This could be two things, actually. I love to read. Brilliant. And this is a type of book, so this is a Christian book, so that might help that I'm a Christian as well. All right, I have another clue. Anyone recognise the hoodie? Grace. Youth Fuse, so I'm a Youth Fuse leader. So I do all these weird and wonderful things. I'm also a big kid too, which most people know. But you know what? As exciting as it would be to tell you all about me, we weren't really learning about me this week, sure we weren't. No, that was just too much excitement for you. This week we were learning about Jesus. So I just want to recap and see who was listening this week. There's just four things that we're going to think about, right? So do you remember on the first night, Jesus arrived in Jerusalem? Did they put out a big red carpet for him? No? What happened? Palm leaves, perfect. So they had their palm leaves and they were saying Hosanna, and it was a big party because this Jesus has arrived. And did he arrive in a big throne? No. What did he come in on?
A donkey.
A donkey? Do you think a king over here would come in on a donkey? Doesn't really happen. Sure, it doesn't. So that's the first thing. So Jesus is a king. So I want someone to stand up, let's see, and we'll have a crown. Who wants to be my lovely volunteer with a crown? Perfect. So you're the first one. Jesus is the king. Now, who likes getting presents? Every hand should be up. Adults too. Who likes getting presents? Yes, you can help with two kings. Brilliant. So everybody likes getting presents. Perfect. I'm glad you used your head because it doesn't quite fit on mine when I practiced. So everybody likes getting presents. But you know what? We got a present that none of us deserved. None of us. Because usually you get a present if it's your birthday. Jacob, was your birthday yesterday, wasn't it? Did you get lots of presents? When else do you get presents? Yeah. You got slides? Yes, you did. Christmas, yeah. We get presents throughout the year, but we got a present. God gave us a present that we just didn't deserve. Our present was Jesus. And do you remember on the second night we'd done lots of crafts, and does anyone remember the younger ones? They made a lovely box. Do you remember? Yeah. And didn't it say Jesus is the greatest gift? Grace, I'm going to use you as the second example then. So what's the first one? Jesus is king, and now Jesus is the greatest gift. Grace, do you want to hold this one up for me? I'll maybe move all my supplies out of the way. Perfect. So now we've got the third one. So, do you remember we were talking about the mountains? In Switzerland? Yeah. Did anyone do a craft with me about the two mountains? And something in the middle? You didn't, don't worry. That's fine. So, do you remember our memory verse? And it wasn't that we are like zebras as much as I got really confused. Do you remember during the week and I thought it was we are all like zebras? We're not, we are all like what? We're all like sheep. We're all like lovely little fluffy things here. Why are we all like sheep? Are sheep really good at doing what they're told? Was I really good at making waffles during the week? No. There's a reason adults, I didn't say that I'm a baker. If you were at Holiday Bible Club, it was a bit of a disaster making waffles. I mean, the eggshells went in and everything. Thank you. Perfect. So we're all like sheep because what do sheep do? They wander away. So very often, there's a big gap between us and God, isn't there? Because do we do what we're told all the time? Mum, do I do what I'm told all the time? No. See, even adults can't do it right. So, let's get a third person up. Do you want to help me, Jacob? Good job. I'll let you hold the broken part, and in fact, I'll give you that one to you. Right, Jacob, you stand up here. Now. So, there's a big gap, remember, from all the bad stuff we do than a really good life with God. And do you know who came? Who was our greatest gift? And what did he do on this cross? You're breaking every craft I've done all week. Thank you. What? Jesus. So this cross is Jesus, and what happens is this, Jacob, you hold it up nice and steady. Is that this is the life we live now, all the bad stuff. But for us to get this really good stuff and live a really, really good life with God, we have Jesus in the middle, don't we? Because he gets us from one side to the other. So the first one, Jesus is what? King. Second one, Jesus is the greatest. And Jesus is our rescuer. So the last one that I have to tell you about is just that Jesus is the Son of God. And Connor was telling about us because something really, really sad but brilliant happened on the cross. What happened? Yeah.
Jesus died.
Did he die for himself? Did he do it just because he could?
No.
What did he die for? Hannah?
Our sins.
That's where I'm going to end it for us. But you know, we all know that that wasn't the end of the story. Sure it wasn't. But someone else is going to lead on from that at the end. So we'll just recap one more time. So Jesus is King. Jesus is the greatest. Jesus is the rescuer. And Jesus is the Son of
God.
Perfect. So will we pray together? He's going to all sit down. You were brilliant. Thank you so much. Great. All right, let us pray. Everyone close your eyes. Lord, we thank you for all that you are and all that you have given us. It's more than we ever deserve. Thank you for this church and all its people of all ages, from the smallest to the tallest, our big church family. Thank you that we can come together to learn more about you and open our hearts to what you have to say. Let us try to become more like Jesus, who loved everybody, who walked alongside everybody, who came to save and to share your love with the people and to show them how to be saved. In your name we pray. Amen.
Are you all coming up to sing? Oh, good. I think the theme song really for the Holiday Bible Club was Wild for Love, is that right? And the Holiday Bible Club are going to come up, some of the boys and girls and some of the leaders, and they're going to sing it for us first, and then we'll all give it a go.
Now I is a love like a lion roaring from my heart. His desire like a fire, we will never be apart. We're no longer orphans, children of the king. To him I give my life, I give my everything. Cause Jesus loves you, Jesus loves me. He died and rose again to give us victory. I was born to make a difference, born to be free. Born to know this God is love is wild for me.
Your love is wild for me. Wild for me, your love is wild for me. You gave it all for me. Now I believe your love is wild for me.
You'll be glad to know we're not going to ask you to do that. I'm glad to know we're not going to be having to do that. But actually, to think just about the central theme of that song, that actually God's love for you is wild. That's how much he thinks about you. That's how much he cares for you. That's something to really think about as our offering is now going to be taken up. And we, excuse me, pray together. Let's pray. Lord, it is with grateful hearts that we bring our gifts to you today. We thank you for our holiday Bible club, for the boys and girls that attended, for their enthusiasm, and for the enthusiasm of our leaders. And we thank you for that message that you have been bringing to us this morning through the Holiday Bible Club. The immense and wild nature of your love for us. A love that seeks us out on the path of life. A love that went to a cross to die in our place. A love that wants to lead us in your better way for us. Open our hearts to that love, we pray. In your name. Amen. In our service, we've been thinking about who is Jesus. And we began by asking that question that Jesus asked of the disciples. Who do people say that I am? And then Lauren helped us to think about what does the Bible say about who Jesus is. We come to that final part of our service and that final question that Jesus posed. and it's going to be read for us from Matthew's Gospel by one of the girls who was at the Holiday Bible Club, Faith.
"But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God."
Thank you, Faith. That's the last question that Jesus poses to us this morning. He doesn't ask us, "Who do people say I am?" He doesn't ask us, "What does the Bible say I am?" He asks us, "Who do you say I am? Who do you think Jesus is?" There is no doubting Jesus' impact on the history of this world. One person has put it this way. They've written, "All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man on earth as this one solitary life." And when you think about it, that's really remarkable. It's remarkable when you think of when Jesus was born, and when you think of the life that he lived. I mean, he was born in poverty. He lived for only 33 years. He spent most of that time in obscurity. He never wrote a book. He never held an office in public life. He never traveled more than 40 or 50 miles. Never went out of his own country. And he was crucified between two criminals. And yet, 2,000 years later, millions of people continue to follow him. And we ask the question, why? Why has Jesus made such an impact on the history of our world? And of course, it's that claim that he made about himself, that claim that Lauren reminded us about at the very end of her talk, that claim that he was the Son of God, that he wasn't just a man or an exceptional man or an extraordinary man, but he was God and man in one person. Now, if somebody came along to you today and said they were God, you'd probably laugh in their faces. You'd say to yourself, "Who do you think I am? Do you think I'm some kind of mug?" And the people in Jesus' day were no less intelligent than you and me. But they very quickly discovered that everything about Jesus' life was consistent with this claim that he was the Son of God. I mean, he lived the kind of life that you would expect God to live, that loving nature of his, that caring nature. He taught the things that you would expect God to teach. His great teaching. He did the things that you would expect God to do. His amazing miracles. And he acted in the way that you would expect God to act. When people came to him They gave him the worship that you would normally reserve for God. And Jesus forgave people their sins. The only one who can do that, we all know, is God. Everything about his life was consistent with his claim. But if he had died on the tree and had rotted in the grave, we could never, never have been sure that he was the Son of God. And the crowning piece of evidence that he was that he rose from the dead. And that really happened, perhaps is best seen in the difference in the disciples. When Jesus was crucified, they thought their world had ended. It was the end of all their hopes and dreams. They went into hiding. But a few days later, they took to the streets of Jerusalem. They began to preach the message of Jesus. And they even did it in the face of persecution. And how do we explain that difference? They were convinced he had risen from the dead. They had met with him. And so Jesus says to us today, who do you say I am? And if we accept, as the evidence suggests, that he is the Son of God, then there's only one thing for us to do. And that's to listen to him. Because he alone can teach us the truth about God and about life. And we must come and surrender our lives to him, because it's only through him we can discover all that God has for you and me. Jesus could say about himself, he could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And if you want to know the way to God, it's only through Jesus. If you want to discover the truth about God, it's only through Jesus. If you want to experience the life of God, it can only happen through Jesus. And what we want you to know this morning is that Jesus isn't just a figure from history. He is alive. He is here among us today. And he wants us to know him for ourselves, so that our sin can be forgiven, so that we can be reunited to our Heavenly Father, so that we can know the love of God and the life of God and the hope of God and the presence of God and the peace of God. And if we say no to Jesus this morning, be clear about what we're doing. We're not just saying no to some historical figure. We're saying no to the living God. And we're cutting ourselves off from all that he can do in our lives. Jesus says to us this morning, who do you say I am? And if you say, as Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, then there's only one response to be made. You must come and in repentance admit your need of him, and in faith surrender your life to him. Who do you say I am? Jesus asks you today. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we do not worship a dead hero. We thank you that we don't simply remember someone from the past, but we thank you that you are the living, reigning Son of God. And you are here in our midst. And you are asking of each of us the question, who do you say I am? And if we truly believe that you are the Son of God, then help us to take that next step and to bow the knee and to offer our lives unreservedly to you as the only one who can lead us to God, as the only one who can teach us the truth of God, and as the only one who enables us to experience the life of God, that eternal life that you are able to give to us. For we ask these things in your name. Amen. So we turn to our closing hymn, and our closing hymn really takes up the theme of our service. It reminds us that Jesus alone is the cornerstone on which we should be building our lives. He is our only hope, the only one who can lead us to God and enable us to know the forgiveness of God, the life of God, and ultimately to lead us into the presence of God forevermore. My hope is built on nothing less. Let's stand together.
Jesus, Lord and righteousness.
That is the hope that Jesus offers. What a wonderful hope to stand before God and know we're accepted, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Just remind you of tea and coffee in the hall afterwards. And we pray together. And we pray that the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all. Amen.